genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock, here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is trailblazers. Each of my guests is a trailblazer in his area of expertise. My first guest is best known for exposing the secret Laotian bombings during Vietnam War. We'll get more contemporary as we discuss his evaluation of CIA director David Petraeus from his in-depth investigation titled The Petraeus Projection. My second guest is named by Newsweek as one of the 50 people who matter most on the internet. He's a thinker, a writer, a columnist, and he'll give us the recipe to be more innovative from his book, The Innovator's Cookbook. My third guest is a successful businessman and co-founder of Photon Group. He'll share how to overcome the 16 obstacles to success from his book, Why People Fail. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Fred Brampman is a U.S. American anti-war activist and author of a number of books about the Indochina War. Working as the director of Project Air War in 1969, he wrote about the U.S. bombing in Indochina, purportedly directed at undefended civilians. Fred worked as a policy advisor for former California Governor Jerry Brown, Gary Hart, and Tom Hayden. Fred has worked as an educational advisor for the U.S. government in Laos, and when in September 1969, thousands of refugees fled into the Laotian capital of Vientiane. He told by U.S. officials that that the Americans had nothing to do with the bombs. Fred gathered the details, journeyed to Washington, D.C., and spoke to a special session of the U.S. Senate Committee on Refugees, exposing the U.S. government's covert activities. Today, Fred works as a writer living in Santa Barbara. His articles have appeared in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Harper's, Playboy, and the New Republic. He's also contributed to the traveling exposition Legacies of War, which was created to raise awareness about the history of the Vietnam War era bombing in Laos. Joining us from Budapest, Hungary, how are you today, Fred?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Well, thank you for being a guest on the show, and thank you for taking some time out of your evening to join us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. So let's dive right into it, because you assert that David Petraeus, who was the former general in charge of our forces in Iraq and then Afghanistan, who's now the director of the CIA, Petraeus is increasing the numbers, the motivation, and the geographic scope of America's foes instead of making America safer. Those are very strong words. Currently, it's an underreported story in the news. So give us your position on this, if you will.
Well, the basic issue is we started this war in Afghanistan. We went into Afghanistan after 9/11. And however you feel about whether or not we should be in Afghanistan, and I'm strongly opposed to it, I think it's insane, Afghanistan only has about 30 million people. Next door, you have Pakistan with 180 million people and nuclear bombs. And the problem is that in fighting in tiny Afghanistan, General Petraeus, as the head of CENTCOM about 3 years ago, took the fight into Pakistan. We've been launching thousands of drone strikes. We've been launching these incursions, one of which we heard about recently that killed 24 Pakistani soldiers. We've been sending CIA assassins into Pakistan. We heard about, of course, the killing of Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
What most people don't know is the quote from a high-ranking military source in the New Yorker article about the killing of Osama bin Laden. He said that our CIA teams have killed over 2,000 people like Osama that we never heard about, and he said it was like mowing the lawn. So you have huge U.S. incursions into Pakistan, a country that we haven't declared war against, that we're destabilizing. And there's nothing worth winning in Afghanistan that's worth destabilizing Pakistan. And that's for a number of reasons. Number one, we've got, since General Petraeus took over as CENTCOM, the number of insurgents within Pakistan have quadrupled to the point where the government issued a study about 6 months ago saying they were a bigger problem for Pakistan than India. Secondly, you've got the nuclear weapons. Pakistan's nuclear stockpile is the world's most unstable and the world's fastest growing nuclear stockpile. And our own ambassador, Ann Patterson, said in the WikiLeaks cables that she was terrified that nuclear materials could leak out of the nuclear stockpile into the hands of terrorists. As you may know, 69% of the Pakistanis today regard the United States as their enemy. That's 125 million Muslims in Pakistan who regard us as their enemy. Among those are thousands who work in these nuclear power plants. The basic U.S. strategy, of which General Petraeus has been the architect, has been a disaster. It's reducing our national security. Now, one last thing, and then we can go on. As you know, the argument is that, well, by killing terrorists in Pakistan with our drone militants in Pakistan with our drone strikes, that is helping U.S. national security because now there are less people who want to kill us. In fact, however, every study, our own director of national intelligence, Dennis Blair, who was in charge of all of our intelligence agencies, many, many other very credible people, have pointed out that for every militant we kill through a drone strike, we create 10, 20, 100 more who now want to kill us, who want to go on jihad, who want to become suicide bombers. We've killed, officially, they've acknowledged 2,500 murders from drone strikes, and I call them murders because these are people who are suspects. In fact, most of them are unarmed suspects at the time they're being killed, and we have no evidence that they're, in fact, intending to do any danger, that they pose a danger to the United States. They've only been able to name, at this point, 56 named al-Qaeda and Taliban operatives that they've killed in Pakistan among the 2,500, which is to say we've killed several thousand people who we don't even know their names. Now, all of this is infuriating. We make a big deal about Iran. We're very worried that Iran will get a nuclear weapon. Well, Pakistan already has nuclear weapons. And the other danger, by the way, it's been on the front page of the New York Times, is that there could be an anti-U.S. military coup in Pakistan, which would put people who hate us in charge of the nuclear weapons. So add all that together, the population hates us. The dangers of nuclear materials falling into terrorist hands, the danger of a military coup, and above all, the creation of tens of thousands of people who want to kill us. This is endangering our national security. The fact that they've killed 56 al-Qaeda operatives is a minor victory compared to the losses that they're creating by this.
All right. My guest is Fred Brampman. He's author of the article, The Petraeus Projection, The CIA Director's Record Since the Surge. So many different directions in that answer that you just gave me, Fred. But I'm going to start with this one. Donald Rumsfeld has been a guest on my show, and he likened the war against al-Qaeda and Islamic terrorism to the Cold War. It's a war of attrition. He said, and this I'm quoting now, "We must kill more Islamic terrorists than they can train in the madrasa camps." Now, first of all, is that an accurate representation of the situation? And in what ways is David Petraeus merely following this stated doctrine?
Well, this is their their doctrine. Yes, that's their doctrine. It's an impossible goal. It's the most absurd statement. If you know anything about that part of the world, there's no way to kill more people than more terrorists than we create. As I just said, for everyone we kill, we create 10 new ones, and that's according to the UK special ambassador to Afghanistan. That's according to Dennis Blair and many other former CIA counterterrorism experts. So there's no way we can drain the pool. Now, let me give you a very interesting statistic to give you an idea of this. We sent 550,000 U.S. troops to Vietnam to fight 30 million Vietnamese. We were not able to drain the swamp. We were not, even with our troops right there murdering Vietnamese day after day, they always had more troops than they needed to eventually win. This is even truer in a place like Pakistan, where you're killing a handful of Al-Qaeda people, but creating hundreds of thousands of new ones. So the proposition is absolutely absurd. As for General Petraeus, he is very much like these Wall Street people who they think tactically, how can I make money next quarter? General Petraeus is thinking, well, how can I kill as many Taliban as possible, so that I can then get promoted, in this case, to the CIA. So what he did is he went into Afghanistan. He quadrupled airstrikes. He quintupled the number of U.S. assassins that he brought into Afghanistan to conduct around-the-clock assassination. And after a year of this, having murdered thousands of people, violence was up 21% over when he first came into Afghanistan. So what we have is a very short-term oriented U.S. government. Everyone's thinking of the next election. We just read today that Obama is refusing to apologize to the people of Pakistan for the 24 people we murdered, Pakistani soldiers we murdered in cold blood. The reason given by unnamed sources in the White House is that it's an election year, so he can't apologize to the Pakistanis because Newt Gingrich or Romney will accuse him of being soft on Islamicism. He used to be soft on communism. This is short-term thinking. This is not how you lead a country. I mean, we've got to think strategically. I mean, let me give you one last example on this. Think about Iran. It made a lot of sense to Henry Kissinger in 1973 to say that Iran was the linchpin of the Nixon doctrine. We were supporting the Shah to the hilt. What happened 5 years later, the Ayatollah came in, and we've had nothing but grief ever since. Imagine if anti-U.S. forces take over in Pakistan, which already have nuclear weapons, the grief we're going to suffer at that point. And it's short-term thinking, it's careerism. General Petraeus thinking of his next post, but he's a military disaster as a general, as an officer. The enemy is gaining strength. The Pakistani Taliban are stronger than they were before. The anti-U.S. sentiment is stronger than it was before. And let me just say one last word on that, on the question of General Petraeus. I mean, however you feel about whether he was successful in the surge in Iraq, let's call that an early success. As I said, he was a disaster when he took over as head of the Pakistan-Afghan policy, and then when he was commander in Afghanistan. And this, by the way, is a pattern. That is to say, General Napoleon had early successes and then brought disaster on his country. General Navarre had a very distinguished career before he decided developed the French strategy of Dien Bien Phu. Marshal Petain was the hero of Verdun in World War One, and then helped design the Maginot Line. What's happening with General Petraeus is we've turned him into a hero because we have a need for a hero, and we're not looking at his disastrous record since he in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and now as the head of the CIA, he's launching a worldwide war of assassination by U.S. assassins on the ground and drone aircraft from the air, which can only turn even more Muslims against us.
All right, my guest.
This is a strategic catastrophe.
My guest is Fred Bronfman, author of the article "The Petraeus Projection: The CIA Director's Record Since the Surge." So many follow-on questions, but I'm going to start with this one. It was publicly reported an incident in October, the assassination of Anwar al-Awlaki, if I'm pronouncing that right. He was a U.S. citizen. He was a Muslim cleric. He was alleged to have orchestrated attacks in America. His assassination was touted as a victory in the war against Islamic terrorism. So how are incidents like this, the al-Awlaki assassination, misinterpreted by the media? How come we're only hearing one side of this?
Well, the whole problem with the U.S. mass media is that they depend on government sources for front page stories and for their promotions and their careers. So 99% of what you read in the mass media is our reporters reporting what government officials say. This is how they make their living. They are, in effect, an arm of the U.S. executive branch. On occasion, they will reveal things that most of what I'm telling you comes from the New York Times and Washington Post on the back pages, and those reporters are courageous. But the front page stories, the television news, the overwhelming propaganda is basically government officials putting out their version of events through the media. And the mass media in this country is particularly now that it's become so concentrated and is owned by these powerful corporate interests, are unwilling to challenge the government line. If a journalist does that, he loses his career.
All right, but let me follow up with that. All right, so the journalists are taking care of that side of things, and they're not giving us the true story. But Congress and the American people probably want to believe that these tactics are working. Where are the congressional watchdogs that watch over our foreign policy, that watch over our covert activities? With there's so much controversy around Petraeus's performance, why aren't these watchdogs springing into action?
Well, there's very little controversy over, but that's our whole problem. But beyond that, this is why Occupy movements around America, anybody listening to this broadcast, even if you're a conservative and you don't agree with them, your future depends upon a breaking up the power of corporate interest to put these people into power in the House and Senate and presidency. These people are their goal is to, they have to raise money. They have to raise millions to keep their seat. Well, who are they going to raise the money from? They have to raise the money from corporate interests and military contractors and all the rest. And that's why you don't hear anybody challenging General Petraeus. In addition to what I do, that's why I called my article "The Petraeus Projection." People are projecting onto General Petraeus their need for a hero. We all want to believe in heroes, that there's somebody out there who can save us, and a general is a particular object for projection. And if you want to know how powerful projection is, just think of all the women or men, anyone listening to this broadcast, once thought they were in love with and then discovered they weren't. We all project onto loved objects, generals, presidents, entertainers, our desires. But in this case, it's suicidal. I mean, we are, in my humble opinion, I've been studying this for 40 years, we're heading for the worst screw-up in our nation's post-war history by taking on 1.8 million Muslims, which is basically what General Petraeus is doing. He now has a task force of 60,000 U.S. assassins and support groups who are conducting assassinations in 75 countries right now. Most of them are in these Muslim countries. And we're going to pay the piper. You have to think long term on these matters. It's not about next year's election. It's about, is it in America's interest to be hated in the Muslim world by including tens of thousands of suicide bombers who can't be deterred by the threat of death?
All right, and we're going to have to leave it there, Fred. We're just out of time. So if people are interested by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, I have my website's www.trulyalive.org, and I've had a dozen articles printed on alternet.org and truthdig.com and salon.com. And if anybody wants to email me at fredbrantman@aol.com, I'll be happy to send you my articles, and that's my main focus right now, is to try to wake up people to the fact that our present policy is endangering us. It's weakening national security. It's making it more likely that you and I are going to die.
And we're going to have to leave it there, Fred.
If there's a 911 in this country, it'll mean the end of democracy as we know it.
Well, and then we're going to have to leave it there, Fred. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.